Masechet Yevamot Daf Yod Tet. We're talking about the case of a brother that's not alive at the same time as each other. Two brothers are not alive at the same time. So we have a case here. Reuven dies without children, and Levi is born afterwards. So there's a machloket about this. Chachamim say that when, even though Levi is born after Reuven, we take into account the history of what happened beforehand. And therefore, a Levi may not do Yibum because he was not alive at the same time as Reuven. So therefore, Levi may never do Yibum with Esther. And so he is prohibited to Esther as a brother's wife. Even though he wasn't alive at the same time, doesn't matter. That's forever an Adva. And so if Esther would then go and do Yibum with Shimon, Levi, and then Shimon dies, Levi will be prohibited to Esther. And according to Chachamim, it makes no difference whether he's born before he does Yibum or after he does Yibum, because Levi is simply the brother of Reuven and cannot do Yibum, and therefore this is his sister-in-law with no Yibum. So that's Isur Erva forever. That's Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon, however, is more lenient. And the question is, how much more lenient? So in a case where Shimon performs Yibum, and then Levi is born, that for sure Rabbi Shimon would permit. Because when Levi is born, according to Rabbi Shimon, we don't have to take into account the history of what happened before he was born. And so since Reuven already died before he was born, so that is of no consequence to him. Levi is born, and he sees, I have a brother, Shimon, who has two wives, Esther and Hannah. So that's perfectly fine. If Shimon dies, then he can take Esther and do Yibum or Chana or do Chalitza with one or the other. And so according to Rabbi Shimon, that is a perfectly fine case. The question we're going to deal with today is, what about the opposite? What if Reuven dies and then Shimon and then Levi is born before Shimon does Yibum? Here's the question. At this point, you could say that it's prohibited. That'll be the second opinion of Rapapa that we're going to see today. Because right now, when Levi is born, there is an outstanding Yevama. She has a Zika. She must perform Yibum with someone. And the most likely candidate will be Shimon, because he was around at the time. Nevertheless, because Levi is born at the time, he knows about Esther, and there is a potential Zika here, except that he was not alive at the same time as Reuven, so he cannot do Yibum. Therefore, he is prohibited as Erva, because anytime you have a sister-in-law, except for Yibum, if Yibum does not apply, then it's prohibited. So he's not totally innocent. He's not born after everything happens. When he's born, there is this outstanding Yevama, and therefore they become prohibited. And even though Shimon will then do Yibum afterwards, Rav Papa is going to argue in the second half of today that even Rabbi Shimon would say this is prohibited. However, there is also the opinion that we started to analyze yesterday of Rabbi Oshaya. He is even more lenient. He is the most lenient explanation of Rabbi Shimon, who's the more lenient opinion. And according to Rabbi Oshaya's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon would say, even in such a case, it's permitted. Even in a case where Levi is born first, and then Shimon does Yibum, and Shimon dies, Levi can take Esther and do Yibum with her. What's his reasoning? So this is what we ended off with. The reasoning is because he says, Yesh Zika. So when Reuven dies and Esther is Zikuka to Shimon, he says that that connection is like a marriage connection. And so even though they don't do Yibum yet, it's like they already did Yibum. It's like they already married. Therefore, when Levi is born, so it's like they already married because the Yesh Zika, and so therefore it makes no difference if the actual Yibum came before or after, because Yesh Zika. And that would be the reasoning of Rabbi Oshaya to say that Rabbi Shimon is totally permissive. But we're going to challenge that reasoning. So here is an outline of what we're going to see. we saw that there are two Mishnayot, Mishnah 1, Mishnah 2. Mishnah 2 was Yibum and then born. And then the third brother is born. And of course, Rabbi Shimon says Levi can take either one in Yibum or Chalitza. The question was regarding the first Mishnah of the Perek. And here we're going to see two opinions. Rabbi Oshaya, who will say Rabbi Shimon permits the one that's born first. The Papa later will say no, and they'll prove it from a braita that Rabbi Shimon forbids that. And then we're going to have bring that long braita and analyze it. But that'll be the second if. So right now we're saying we asked the question, why? Why is it permitted even if the third brother is born before the Yibum? And so we explained that there is Zika. So it's like Shimon is already married to her. It doesn't matter if he actually did Yibum or didn't do Yibum, the Zika is strong enough. So now we're going to challenge that with a question. Wait a second. And we're going to show another source where the B Shimon is in doubt, even in a stronger case of Zika and Ma'amad, and he still is not sure if it's strong enough to be a real marriage or not. So it doesn't make sense that he would be for so sure that this Zika is strong enough on its own. So let's see that question. Matkif Ladav Yosef. Hashta Zika Ma'amad Mesapeka Le Rabbi Shimon Iki Kenusa Damya I Lav Ki Kenusa Damya Zika Lechuda Mibaya. Says, I'm going to show you, Rav Yosef says, that Rabbi Shimon is not sure, even when you have a Zika plus Ma'amad, and he still is has a doubt whether that's like a full marriage or not. And so you're telling me that Zika by itself, he knows for sure that, right? So if he's not in doubt about the stronger case, then surely I don't even have to tell you that he's in doubt about the Zika case. So therefore, the whole basis of your reasoning, Rabbi Oshaya, is in doubt. Okay, Maihi, where do we see that Rabbi Shimon is in doubt even about a Ma'amar case? Ditnan, we have a Mishnah later. Shelosha achim nisuin shelosh nashim nachriot. Three brothers married to three unrelated women. Umet ehad mehen v'asa b'sheni ma'amar. Reuven will die, and the second brother Shimon does a ma'amar. Vamet, and then Shimon dies also. Hare elu hosot velo miyabemot. So the third has to do chalitza with the other two other women and not Yibum. We're going to see a machlok. Rabbi Shimon is going to disagree with this. But let's understand his reasoning first, the Chachamim's reasoning first. Sheneemar umet ehad mehem yevamah yavo aleha mi she'aleha zikat yevam ehad velo she'aleha zikat shenei yevamim. So Tanakama here has a principle that if someone dies, so his yevam will come upon her only if she is responsible, she's the widow of one yavam, not if she has to take care of two yavamim. If she, the responsibility is to uphold the name of two yavamim, that's too much. Then you can't do either. So only one, you can only apply to one. So here's the case that we are using to challenge. Three brothers married to three unrelated women. The Reuven dies. And Shimon only does ma'amad, but does not fulfill the yibum before he dies as well. So here's the thing. Because this ma'amad is only a quasi-marriage, it's a kind of only the rabbanan. So because we don't want to make a, you know, yibum look like it's so, you know, just going right and having bi'ah. So we want to add some kiddushin type of thing. So it's only a quasi, only the rabbanan. Therefore, Sarah, from a biblical level, has to do Yibum for the Uven because the Ma'amad is not so seen, is not in anything. However, from a Dirabanan level, the Ma'amad is something, and therefore, because Shimon was, let's say, Dirabanan married to Sarah, so then Sarah has to do Yibum for Shimon. And so here's the problem, because this is a quasi marriage, and so the half of it that's not a marriage will mean that Sarah still has to do Yibum for the Uven, and the part of it that is a marriage means that Sarah still has to do Yibum for Shimon, and so now Sarah falls to Levi as a Yivama for both the Uven and Shimon. So the rabbis say, no, Yibum does not apply in such a case. She cannot do that. It'll be very confusing, right? Whose kid is that going to be? The Uven's? Will he inherit the Uven, inherit Shimon's? And so therefore, do not do anything. And that is the rabbi's ruling. You still have to do something because for sure there is a zikah for one or the other, but you know what? Just do chalisa and not yibum. So in order to clarify any problem that may arise. Okay, good. That was Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon, however, Omer, Meyabim, Le'ezem Mehem Shirse, Vecholes Lashinia. Rabbi Shimon says, you can choose, he can choose, Levi can choose to do Yibum with either one. Now, Levi can choose either Sarah or Miriam, and you boom with one, and he has to do Chalitza with the other. But it doesn't matter which one. Why? Yabumet Talvaihu, now he cannot do Yibum with both. The Dilma Yesh Zika, Bavu Shene Yevamot, Habaot, Mi Bait Ehad, because perhaps there is in fact a connection between them, a bond. And if there is a bond, once Reuven dies, so then there is a bond between Shimon and Sarah, a Zika bond, and especially if he does Ma'amar, and therefore it's possible that Sarah is in fact a co-wife with Miriam, and he can't do Yibum with two wives of the same person, right? Once you do Yibum with one, the co-wife is exempt. So that's why he can't do Yibum with both. He would have to, if it was considered a zika, then he would do yibum with one, and the other you wouldn't need anything. But we're going to still require chalisa just in case it is not a zika. If this is not a zika, then Sarah is still connected to only to Reuven and not the wife of Shimon. And so if he does Yibum with her, so Miriam still needs Chalisa. Or if he does Yibum with Miriam, then Sarah still needs Chalisa. So it could be that there are two separate obligations, and therefore he has to do Yibum and he has to do two things, one Yibum and one Chalisa. It's just that he can't do Yibum with both, just in case Sarah is in fact a co-wife of Miriam. And so that explains his ruling. So that's his rule. He can't do Yibum with both if they are from one husband. Can you do Yibum with one and the other will just go free if they are from the same husband? Well, yeah, if you know for sure that the Zika worked, then that would be okay. But we can't do that. Maybe Zika is not actually a full connection. And in that case, it would be like two Yevamot that come from two husbands. And so therefore, he can't just assume if he does Yibum with one, the other can go free. You have to do Chalitza with the other. The main point is here, Alma Mesapika Le. He is in fact unsure. Rabbi Shimon says you have to do Yibum and Chalitza because he's not sure. Is this Zika and this Ma'amad, is it effective? If it's effective, it's fully effective. And then in that case, he would have to do Yibum with one of them, but not Yibum with both. Or maybe it's not effective, in which case he has to do Yibum with one, but the other cannot just go free, have to do Chalitza. So from his ruling, you see, he is in doubt about Zika. And now you told me that the whole reason why, you told me that the whole reason why it makes no difference whether Levi is born before the Yibum or after the Yibum is because even if he's born before the Yibum, there is a Zika. So it's like they're already married. You're so sure that according to the Bishimon, the Zika is as if they're already married, but he's not so sure in this case. So in fact, there is a doubt, and that pokes a hole in Rabbi Oshaya's argument. All right, so now we'll try to revive Rabbi Oshaya. Maybe he thinks, you know what, on a deoraita level, I am sure. And in fact, this would be a full zika, and he could do yibum with one and the other could go free. And I really do think that, but just midrabanan. The only reason why he's requiring chalisa is as a drabanan, because look what people are going to say. They're not going to realize that there was a connection and there was ma'amad. All they're going to see is that what there are two women from two different houses, meaning two different husbands, because they know Reuven died and this was Sarah, and they know Shimon died, it was Miriam, and they're not going to make this connection that Sarah moved over to Shimon's house just by having a zikah or just by ma'amar. From their perspective, they're going to think it's two houses, and then they're going to think that, oh, look, Levi just did yibum with Miriam, and Sarah went free, and they're going to think that that's the halacha, that one can fulfill yibum for two husbands with only one of their wives, and that is not true. So to avoid any confusion of onlookers, we require chalisa only the banan. And so this would save Rabbi Hoshea. On the right level, I am sure. But we cannot say that because of another braita that is explicit. We see that the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon in this case is because he's not sure if Ma'amad is a full marriage or is not a full marriage. He says so explicitly, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon l'chachamim, Rabbi Shimon explaining his opinion to Chachamim says, if the ma'amad of Shimon is in fact full marriage, then eshet shenihu bo'el, then Levi is taking the wife of the second of Shimon, and then Shimon's other wife is can go free. But if Shimon's ma'amad is not actually effective, is not like yibum, then eshet rishonu bo'el, then he is doing yibum for Reuven, and that's why Shimon's wife will still need a halisa. So you see that his reasoning is here. He doesn't say, oh, it's only to the banan. He is legitimately unsure, so he's in doubt. So we cannot say that Rabbi Shimon says yesh zika, and therefore it doesn't matter the order of Yibum first or the unborn brother first, right? It will make a difference because a zika by itself is in doubt. Okay, now we're going to try to save him again. Amar le Abaye. Why don't you think there's a difference between whether there's only one brother who can perform Yibum? Because if there's only one brother, then that Zika is stronger. He definitely has to do Yibum. And so in that case, you could say the Zika is like full marriage. Whereas if there are two Yevamim, then each one can say, I think the other guy will do it. I think the other guy will do it. And in that case, it's easier to say that the Zika is like nothing. Until you actually do Yibum, then there is nothing there. And that would solve the problem, right? Dilma ki amar Rabbi Shimon Zika ki kenusa dam ya beyavam ehad. When Rabbi Shimon said Zika is like full marriage, that's talking about our original case here, because here there is only, when Reuven dies, there's only one brother. Levi wasn't born yet. So when Reuven dies, you have only Shimon, so only one brother, and he has a Zika. So in that case, there's no one else that can do Yibum. So this Zika is like Yibum, and so it's like he did Yibum already. Even if Levi is born afterwards, even if Levi is born before the Yibum, the Zika is sufficient to be like Yibum. In that case, Rabbi Shimon would say, would be for sure, Zika is like a full marriage. When is he in doubt? He's in doubt in this case. When Reuven dies, there are two eligible brothers that can do Yibum, Shimon or Levi. And therefore, each one could be looking at the other, says, you do it. And in that case, the Zika and even a Ma'amad will be in doubt. I know Shimon did this. Is this full? Is it not? Because Levi could always come and do it. And that's the case where he says, oh, and then Shimon dies. This is a doubtful case, whether that Zika was ever fully deoraita marriage or not. Okay, this is a pretty good answer, because it seems it should make a difference between the two. Okay, but this has to assume that Rabbi Shimon says yesh zika when there's one brother, but no zika when there's two brothers. Can we uphold this? Umishani le Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon really make a difference? Vehatanya, and now yet another baraita. Klal amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said the following general rule. Klal. So when you say something's a klal, that's like, you know, really important. It should be something that's universal. Called Shahaleda Kodemet Lanisuin. If the third brother was born before, it says Nisuin, but it means Yibum here. If the third brother was born before the Yibum, Lo Holeset, Velo Mityabemet, then This is like Shitat Chachamim. You don't do Chalitza or Yibum because the brother was born first. Therefore, he becomes prohibited to Reuven's wife because he's born before the Yibum. And so that he cannot do Yibum himself. The Yavamah is there available, but he can't do it because he was not alive at the same time as Reuven, and therefore becomes prohibited. So it's only permitted Nisuin Kodem LaLeda, only if the Yibum came first and then Levi was born. In that case, Rabbi Shimon says, or choleset or mityabemet, then Levi can't, and then Shimon dies, then the Levi can do chalitza or yibum. This baraita is extremely significant because you see, this baraita, we could end here, right? This baraita says that is the opposite of Rabbi Oshaya. This baraita proves the same as Rav Papa, that Rabbi Shimon's permission, his leniency is limited only to one case and not the other. So in fact, you know, we could end the entire argument here just based on this and prove that Rabbi Oshaya is wrong. However, the Gemara is not doing that. Even though it could. Instead, we're just bringing this to continue the thread that we've already begun and to reject this argument that Rabbi Shimon possibly makes a difference between one brother where the yesh zika and two brothers when there is not zika. So we have this braita, and this braita doesn't distinguish between one and two. So can't we assume that this braita is talking about one? There's only one brother, and it says lo choleset v'lo mityabemet. So it's a slam dunk. That's it. It's a proof. And we say lo bishnei yevamim, right? So in fact, we're not going to end the argument just with this braita because it's possible that this braita is talking about when there's two yevamim. So that's why when in this case, when the brother is born first. And then there is Yibum. There was yet another brother there. And so there was the Zika with Shimon was not a full Zika. And that's why in this case, lo choleset v'lo mityabemet, because once Levi is born, we cannot assume that the Zika of Shimon was already too cold and it's as if they're already married because there was yet another brother, there's four brothers. And so maybe that's why. Okay, that's, you have to put a lot into it, which is what we're going to say. Right? It could be that there are two yevamim here. So then what? So you're saying if there was one brother, then no matter the order of birth and yibum, then you could do chalisa or yibum. It would be permitted. If so, then this baraita is a little confusing because it gives you a case where was prohibited, like Chachamim, and then it wants to give you a different case where it's permitted. Instead of giving a case of that the Yibum came first, so then talk about this case itself and say, oh, this case is only if there are two brothers, but if there's one brother, then it's permitted. That would be a bigger chidush, right? It could have said, all right, so it should have told us that. So now we'll say, well, maybe not. Maybe kula bishnei yevim kamayde. The entire braita, both cases, are all talking about, I was only talking about two yevamim. And so that's why I want to distinguish. Within the case of two yevamim, it makes a difference of the order. No, but that can't be either because ve'la mai kilala. Why is this thing, give a language? This is a general principle. It's a general principle, but this principle only applies when there are four brothers, right? One dies and there's two surviving brothers before the Levi is even born. Right, that's a very particular case, and you wouldn't call that a general rule. And so, therefore, this entire line of reasoning of making a distinction between one and two brothers alive does not make sense. So we tried that, right? We said maybe there's two brothers, but this baraita should have said so. Instead, it says a whole klal, and it only makes a distinction between the order of yibum and birth. And so, therefore, this is a complete rejection of Rabbi Oshaya, right? So basically it's this baraita, the one that's in green here, is that the klal baraita that says the opposite. We try to push in another possible interpretation, but it does not work. And so therefore, Rabbi Hoshaya is he has to, the only way to say for him to say what he says is to contradict the Braita. So we'd rather not contradict the Braita. And so this Braita is a refutation of Rabbi Hoshaya. Okay, we could stop here and move on to Rav Papa. However, we have one more challenge to Rabbi Hoshaya, and this is confusingly from Rav Hoshaya, different person. So Rav Hoshaya says, I want to bring my own challenge to Rabbi Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya's challenge will not be complete. And so, but nevertheless, we have the first rejection of Rabbi Hoshaya anyway. So now let's go and analyze Rav Hoshaya's challenge. Ve'od mativ Rav Hoshaya. Shelosha achin. Shenai mehen nisuin shete achayot. We have three brothers, and two of them are married to two sisters. Isha ubita. Or two of them are married to a mother and daughter. Or Isha ubat bita, or two brothers are married to a woman and that woman's granddaughter from her daughter. Or Isha ubat bena, or one brother is married to a woman and the other brother is married to that woman's daughter's daughter, also granddaughter. Hare elu chosot velo mityabemot. In all these cases, the third brother, who's married to someone not related, has to do chalitza and may not do yibum. That's tanakama. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says you cannot do yibum, but you don't have to do chalitza. So they all agree you cannot do yibum. Tanakama says, but you have to do chalitza. Rabbi Shimon says no chalitza. So let's see. I don't have a chart for this exact case, but we could just use this chart and imagine that here Sarah and Miriam are related to each other. It doesn't really matter how they're related. They could be sisters or mother and daughter or grandmother and granddaughter. In all cases, it would be the same. Reuven and Shimon die. Right, forget, there's no mamad or anything. They just both die. Neither of them takes the does yibum first. And so now both fall to Levi. The thing is, Levi, what is he going to do? Is he going to do yibum with Miriam? The problem is he has a zika to Sarah. And the Tanakama says a zika, even if it's not a full marriage, is sufficient to make the relation of a zika prohibited. So since Levi has a zika with Sarah, therefore he's prohibited to Miriam. So he can't do yibum with Miriam. And the same thing the other way around. He can't do yibum with Sarah because Sarah is also edvat zekukato. And so that's why he has to do something. It's just that he can't do either one. So he has to do chalitza on both, right? Because they both need yibum or chalitza. So that's Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon comes and says, no, you don't have to do anything at all. What is his reason? We're going to see. He actually has a special derasha for this that says why he can't do it. But we're going to try to figure out other reasons. So let's see. And so now we're going to challenge Rabbi Hoshaya. Remember Rabbi Hoshaya? He said that Once one brother dies, then the second brother, Shimon, has a zika, and that zika is like marriage. It's so much like marriage that even if Levi is born afterwards, it is born before the yibum actually takes place, it doesn't matter because the zika is as if they already did yibum. And now if that's true, then in this case, once Reuven dies, then we should say, oh, Levi has a zika to Sarah, and the zika is like marriage already. And therefore, since you have this bond, when Miriam dies, so then he could just do yibum with Sarah. And then Miriam would be Edva, so he wouldn't have to do anything with Miriam, right? And so according to Rabbi Hoshaya's reasoning, he should be able to do yibum with one of them, with the first one, the wife of the first one that dies, whoever it is, and then he could do yibum with one, and the other would be totally petura, exempt. So how come he doesn't say that? How come he says poter? So we try to say, well, maybe I'm out of Amara. My poter name, poter bishniya. What does poter indeed really mean? It means when he said bishmon poter, he meant only the second wife. The wife of the one who died second is as petura. Maybe that's what he means. No, we can't say that because we have another braita. Batanya Rabbi Shimon Poter, Bishtehen Rabbi Shimon explicitly says in that braita that he both of them could just go and marry. No yibum, no halisa needed. And so back to the challenge. Nava is going to try to save Rabbi Oshaya in an extraordinary way by explaining this Mishnah, the Mishnah here that says if you had three brothers and two of them are married to two sisters or to a father and mother and daughter, or he's going to explain these ors as ands, that there are four brothers. So let's see this case. So Rava does not explain it fully, but we have this chart, luckily, to help us. We have three brothers, Reuven, Levi, Shimon. Reuven is married to four women. Shimon is also married to four women. And it so happens that two of the women are sisters, right? Reuven is married to a sister. They have two brothers married to two sisters. We've seen that a lot of cases like that. But here, in addition, instead of saying or, he says also that Reuven is married to a woman and Shimon is married to that woman's daughter. Also, Reuven is married to here Chava and Shimon is married to her granddaughter and Midian also granddaughter from daughter, granddaughter from son, which leads to a lot of really interesting cases because here, look, for example, Sarah, is the brother-in-law of Reuven, right? So her husband's brother, but is also her grandmother's husband. So that's a great uncle. So both a brother-in-law and a great uncle. Okay, now let's say Reuven dies. According to Rava, once Reuven dies, Levi can perform Yibum with one of them. Only one. You only need to do Yibum with one wife. And so let's say he says, I'm going to do Yibum with Rachel. Fine. And so now everybody else is exempt. Then when Shimon dies, so Levi will not be able to perform Yibum with any of them because Leah is now his wife's sister, and so that's prohibited, and also of any of the others. These are the co-wives, which are all prohibited to him, and these are the relatives of co-wives, so are also all prohibited to him. So that is the explanation. But in fact, according to this, Rava is helping Rabbi Oshaya and as interpretation of Rabbi Shimon. And indeed, when Reuven dies, because he dies first, Levi can take one of them. And then when Shimon dies, all the others, right, it's the second stage that are all prohibited. So he says, Shinya Shebezugze, Vashinya Shebezugze, it's the second from the other pair. They're the ones that are exempt. And so now we can explain the Mishnah in accordance with Rava. But we reject this. Kata'e Rava barba azuge. Hada de o katane. No, Rava was mistaken in thinking that there are four pairs of wives here, because number one, for three reasons. Number one, it says or this, right? With it, the Mishnah describing four different cases, not and they're all married to all these women. And if it was in fact that case of four wives, then Rabbi Shimon should have said that he's patur in all four, right? But in this beraita here, it says bishtehen, which means he thinks there's only two. And so that Rava's interpretation of the Mishnah is rejected. And in any case, we do have this following beraita that does explain the simple reason why Rabbi Shimon says what he says, based on his special derasha that I mentioned before. Ve'od, Tanya Rabbi Shimon poter bishtehen, min ha-halisa u-min ha-yibum. This might be the continuation of that short beraita that we had. Bishmon poter in both of them, both women, both ha-halisa and yibum. Why? Shene emar v'isha lahota lo tikach lisror. The pasuk regarding not marrying two sisters says, don't take them lisror. Should they be? He's interpreting. Should they become co-wives? Bisha shena asu sarot zo lazo. If once these two brothers die, who are married to two sisters, so then the surviving brother has a zikah to two sisters. So if by having that zikah, by possibly taking both, they would become sarot, then not only can he not take both, he cannot take either one. You can only, so lo tikach lisror, lo tikach, don't take either of them, don't take even one of them, if marrying both of them would cause them to be sadot, sisters to be sadot, and sisters is one of the cases here. So we actually understand Rabbi Shimon's reasoning explicitly, why he says patur totally in this case. All right, so now we'll try one more attempt to explain Rabbi Oshaya in according to this Mishnah. Ela amar Rav Asher. Rav Asher says, I can save Rabbi Oshaya, because if one brother dies first and only then the other, right? So then when the Firuven dies first, let's say these are sisters, so Levi will have a zika to Sarah, and zika is like marriage, right? So I'm upholding that reasoning of Rabbi Oshaya. And then indeed, he could do Yibum with one and the other can go free. And so what is our Mishnah, the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah is talking about, the Mishnah, where the Bishamon says both are patur, is talking about when the two brothers die exactly the same time. And generally, there's machloket. Can two things happen actually simultaneously, precisely? So that's a machloket in lots of other cases. And the Bishamon, Rabbi Yosef HaGalili says yes. It can be. And so therefore, that we could say here also, it can be that Reuven and Shimon die precisely at the same moment. They're in a crash together or something. And therefore, because it happens precisely at the same moment, that is why there is no zika that sets in first. That would be potentially the other end. The two zikot are simultaneously. And therefore, the two zikot that are simultaneously contradict each other. And so that is why Rabbi Shimon we can uphold the Rabbi Oshaya's reasoning of Rabbi Shimon that zika is like marriage, and still explain Rabbi Shimon's opinion here that the reason why the piturim here is because they are both die at the same time. And so therefore, Rav Oshaya's challenge based on that Mishnah is not upheld. It's not a full challenge. But nevertheless, even though this was not a complete challenge to Rabbi Oshaya, we already saw that we already challenged him beforehand from that other Braita that was in fact conclusive. And so now Rabbi Oshaya, the lenient interpretation of Rabbi Shimon is rejected. Instead, we will see Rav Papa's opinion that Rabbi Shimon forbids when Levi is born first and then Yibum, and then Rav Papa, according to Rav Papa, Rabbi Shimon agrees with Chachamim that one may not perform Yibum in that case. Rav Papa Amar Bibem Be'achar Kach Nolad Peleg Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Papa disagrees with Rabbi Oshaya. He explains that Rabbi Shimon is only lenient to permit Yibum if the Shimon did perform the Yibum first, and then Levi was born afterwards. Because at that point, when Levi is born, he doesn't know anything about Reuven. There was never a Zika from Reuven. And so in that case, should Shimon die, Levi can take in Yibum either of his wives. However, Benolad, in a case where Levi is born first and only then Shimon does Yibum and dies, in that case, Rabbi Shimon agrees with Chachamim that there is the prohibition of two brothers who were not alive at the same time, and Reuven's widow is permanently prohibited to Levi. And so now the Papa has to address something Rabbi Oshaya said. Rabbi Oshaya's whole proof was from the structure of the Mishnah, from the fact that Mishnah brings two different cases first, according to Chachamim, and only then brings Rabbi Shimon after. And so we're wondering, why would you have to bring both cases for the Chachamim? Right. After all, you can derive one case from the other. And so we had to bring both cases to show that Rabbi Shimon disagrees on both cases. But a papas is not necessarily so. I can explain the structure of the Mishnah easily as This is the law, and lozo afso, and even not only this, but also that. Not only in the case where it would be more obvious that it's prohibited, but even in the case where it would be less obvious as prohibited. So the Mishnah just follows that structure, and that's why it gives both cases for Chachamim, and then it brings it to Bishimon. The Bishimon only disagrees in the second, the less obvious case, the one that's more permissible. He only disagrees when the boom happens first, and then the child is born. Okay, Tanya Kevateda Dra Papa. And now we have a long baraita that has many different cases, but part of it will prove that Dra Papa is correct. V'tiyubtada Rabbi Oshaya, and there will be a challenge to Rabbi Oshaya, showing that Rabbi Shimon only disagrees in one case and not the other. So I'll see a few different cases here. Shnei Achim Ba'olam Ahad, two brothers that are alive at the same time. Met Ahad Mehim Belo Valad, and one dies without a child. V'amad Hasheni Hazeh La'asot Ma'amar Bivimto. And the second then has intention. He wants to do a Ma'amar with the Yevama. V'lo Yispik La'asot Ba'amar Ad Shenolad Lo Ach Umet. But he didn't get a chance to complete doing the ma'amar. The Gemara later, when it analyzes each part of this baraita, will say, well, who cares? What does it matter to say that he tried to do something but didn't work? Okay, he didn't do ma'amar. That's the point. So we'll see why he says that. But the point is that he didn't do ma'amar. And then the brother was born, Levi was born, and then Shimon died. So Hadishona Yotza Mishum Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya BeOlamo. In this case, since Shimon did nothing, did not do Yibum, and he died, so therefore Levi is prohibited to the original widow. Here's the case here. Reuven dies, and Shimon tries to do Ma'amar, but doesn't work, and then he dies also. So Levi is born. And before he dies, so Levi is prohibited to Rachel because she was married to Reuven and they were not alive at the same time. Can't do Yibum, therefore it's Arva, that's prohibited. But Hana is nothing, right? Because no Ma'amad ever happened. So Hana is permitted to Levi. And so he can do either one. Very good. Asaba ma'amar. What if he actually succeeded in doing ma'amar, Shimon? And then Levi was born. The problem is it wasn't full yibum. Or if Levi was born first, also this is going to be a problem. And afterwards you did ma'amar. Umet. Harishona, and then Shimon died. Harishona yosam mishum eshet achiv shelo haya be'olamo, because Shimon never performed yibum and only did ma'amar, so he was never actually married to Reuven's widow, and therefore Levi is prohibited to her, according to all opinions. Ushniya holeset velo mitya bemet, but the second Shimon's widow has to do chalitza. Because maybe, and not yibum, because maybe the ma'amad actually worked. And if the ma'amad worked, then Levi's, one of the co-wives is prohibited to Levi. And so since, if the ma'amad worked, then Shimon is married to two women. One of them, Levi, is prohibited to because it was the sister-in-law from Reuven. And therefore, it's the co-wife of Erva. And that's why you cannot do either. But we're not sure because he didn't do Yibum, he did ma'amad. So maybe the ma'amad didn't work. And so therefore, you have to do something. So therefore, in this case, you have to do halisa. Okay, that's the next case. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, bi ata o halisata shelachat mehen poteret sarata. Rabbi Shimon, however, disagrees in this case and says that if Levi does Biyah or Chalitza with one of them, he doesn't mean here either one, he means only one of them, only the wife of Shimon, then the other wife, original wife of Reuven, can go free. But if he does Chalitza to the Reuven's original wife, who did Ma'amad, then her co-wife, Shimon's original wife, does not go free. So that's Rabbi Shimon. Let's explain why he says that. So the Bishimo's point is that Levi can do yibum or chalisa with hana, because after all, this was only a ma'amar, and so therefore hana is permitted to him and for yibum or chalisa. Now, because he thinks that ma'amar is not half of a marriage, but it is either a full marriage or is nothing at all. Therefore, if the ma'amad is effective, assuming Levi was born after the ma'amad, so if it is effective, then Shimon is married to Rachel and Hana, because the ma'amad is like a marriage. Levi is born afterwards. In that case, he could actually do yibum with either one, and the other one would be Petura. So he could do Hana with Hana, and then Rachel's out of the Rachel is free to go. And if ma'amad is not, right, again, because for Rabbi Shimon, it's either yes or no. It's not halfway. And so if ma'amad is nothing, then it is in fact nothing. So if it's nothing, then Hana is totally permitted to him, because Shimon, Hana is not related to Rachel, and not co-wives. And then Rachel would be prohibited to him, because that is still Reuven's widow, Yevam, and she's a Yevama, and Levi cannot do Yibum because he was not alive at the same time as Reuven, and so therefore she is free to go for that reason. So either way, he could do Yibum with Hana, and Rachel would be free to go, and that is Rabbi Shimon's comment on the first of the two cases that are mentioned here. Next, Kenasa Vamet. If Shimon actually performed Yibum and he died, and then the next brother, the Levi, was born. So this is a problem, because Levi now was not alive during either the Uven or Shimon's lifetime. So he cannot do anything at all, no need. Or this was the controversial case between the brother was born, and then Shimon performed Yibum and then died. And you see here, both are piturot min achalitza min hayibum, right? Both women do not do chalitza or yibum, but they can go free, because in this case, the widow of the Uven is a yevama. The first case we explained, because he was not alive in either of their lifetimes. And the second case here is because when Levi is born, the Yevama has a zika, she's still open, and therefore this anticipation of a possibility of Yibum while Levi is there, is alive, prohibits Levi forever, because he can't do Yibum, but she needs to do Yibum, so he's prohibited forever. And this would be, and you see, Rabbi Shimon does not disagree in this case. So this is a proof for it to be Rav Papa. And now finally, the last case, Kenasav and Olad Lo'ach. This is going to be the case that is controversial between them. So he did Yibum first, and then the brother died, Levi is born. And then, Shimon dies. Sheten peturot min achalisa min hayibum, dibir Rabbi Meir, who's the same as the Chachamim that we had until now, say, no need to do chalisa or yibum. Because Levi, it doesn't matter that he was born after the Yibum. He's nevertheless, he's still the brother of Reuven, and Reuven's wife is permanently prohibited to him, and therefore the co-wife, her co-wife, is also prohibited to him. So therefore, no one does Yibum or Chalisa. But Bishimon Omer, Bishimon says, wait, when Levi was born, everything was totally fine. He never knew anything about Reuven or her wife. His wife, and anything you do, when all he knows when he was born is that Shimon is married to two women, and that's totally fine. So velom da alav sha'achat biso, not for 1 second was either of them prohibited to him because of Reuven. So therefore, miabem leezem emshir seh, when Shimon dies, he can do yibum for either one, or choles leezem eshem emshir seh, or do chalisa for either one. It's just a regular case. So you see, the Bishimon disagrees only in this last case. That's the end of the Braita. Now we're going to analyze support and show how it's a proof. So this last clause, why do we have to talk about it? Why do we have to separate this clause between the previous one as two different ones, two different cases. If we say, oh, for we want to talk about it for Rabbi Meir, to say that Rabbi Meir prohibits not only in the first case, but even in this case. If so, Mikedi Lashani led Rabbi Meir ben Yibem v'achar kach nolad ben nolad v'achar kach Yibem dar bino v'litninu. Right, if it just wants to prove that Rabbi Meir makes no difference between if the Yibum was first and then Levi was born, Levi was born, then Yibum was first, you could have put all both cases together in one clause and just said this or that. Let's say this or that. And alav Rabbi Shimon, rather the structure shows clearly that we want to separate the cases into two clauses for to be Shimon. And he only argues on the last clause where he did Yibum first, and then the Levi is born, because that's it. Once Shimon does Yibum, the whole Yibum problem is out of the picture, and he's born with just knowing that there's a brother with two wives. And that's when he disagrees. But if he was born first while the Yevamah is still outstanding, then he would agree with Chachamim that he would be prohibited to do Yibum, Shema Amina, and that is a conclusive proof for Rav Papa against Rabbi Oshaya. All right, even though we finished the proof, but we want to go back and analyze some of these interesting cases. Amar Mor, Amad Hasheni Lasot Ma'amar Bevimto. That was a quote from the Braita that someone tried to do ma'amar, but he didn't. And then the brother was born, and then he died. So this is a simple case of a brother that was born, and then he died. So the first one is an outstanding Yevama. So he would be for sure, she would be for sure prohibited because they were not around at the same time. And the second one, you could do Chalitza or Yibum because they're not related at all. It's just Shimon's wife, and Shimon didn't do anything. He tried to do Yibum, but didn't. Okay, so my Amad Umay Lohi speaks. So what is this case that he tried to do Amad, but didn't get to do it? Avad. Either he did it or he didn't do it. Why do I care that what he tried to do? Ela amad midata. Rather, what it means is that he tried to perform this kiddushin, right? This ma'amar the kiddushin for Yibum. He tried to do it with her permission. He lo speak midata, but he couldn't convince her to do this. And ela bar kolcha, but rather against her will. Right? He takes a ring and shoves it in her hand and says, "Right, you must do it." And she says she's protesting. Is that valid or not? So this shows that it's not valid according to this baraita. Even if he tried to do it with her consent, but never got her consent and had to force her, it's like there's no ma'amar. It's like he did nothing. Now we have to say that because there is another opinion that says it is. If someone performs a ma'amad without the consent of the Yevama, Rabbi Omer Kanarbi says it's okay, it works. Chachamim say it's not. And that's why we want to talk about this case. Now let's analyze this machloket. My tamad did it be? Why does it be say that a forced ma'amad is valid? Oh, he learns it from bi'ah of Yevamah. If someone tries to do yibum against her will, I mean, this is a morally problematic law that the Yevam can benefit from raping the Yevamah. But nevertheless, because that is the halacha, so Rabbi says, this kiddushin should be the same as performing the yibum against her will, which is valid. Af kiddushin divama ba'al korcha, right? In this language history of kiddushin divama. So it's saying ma'amad is like kiddushin. And so that's why he says it's the same. Rabbanan gamrem kiddushin da'alma. Rabbanan say no. Kiddushin in a regular marriage has to be with consent. Ma kiddushin da'alma midata. Af kiddushin divama midata. So too, this kiddushin for yivama also has to be with her consent. So what's the essence of the machloket? Rabbi said we should compare one case of yibum to another case of yibum, and therefore forced is valid. And Chamim say, no, you should compare one case of Kiddushin to another case of Kiddushin. And regular Kiddushin has to be with her will, so too he has to be with her will. And that's why it adds in those words. He tried to do it, but didn't. Next case, Asa ba ma'amad v'achad kach nolad lo ach. First he does ma'amad and only then the Levi is born. O she nolad lo ach v'achad kach asa ba ma'amad. Or the brother is born first and then he does ma'amad umet. So for sure, the first wife can go free because he never did yibum, and so the first wife is edva to the brother. But for the other wife, the wife of Shimon, it could be that the ma'amad was nothing, and so then he is required to do something for that wife. On the other hand, it could be that the ma'amad did work, and in that case, he could not, he wouldn't be able to take both of them. So because he has to do something, but he can't take her, because if it did work, then it would be like a full yibum. The problem is, according to Chachamim, the wife who was originally married to Reuven is permanently prohibited to Levi, no matter when he was born. And so therefore, she would be the co-wife of an erva. So that's why he cannot do yibum, but he still has to do chalisa just in case on a drabanan, because the ma'amad is only going on the drabanan level, and so therefore it's not strong enough to make them married, but is strong enough for them to be somewhat married, and so he has to do chalitza. Nevi Shimon Omer bi ata ochedisat shelachat mehen poteret psaratan. So Nevi Shimon explains that, and he disagrees and says that one of them can do bi'a or chalitza. He can do chalitza or bi'a chalitza to one of the women, and then the other can go free. Now, which one of them? Rabbi Shimon Ahiyakae. Which one? Ilem. Which case is he talking about? Rather, ilem anolad lo ach v'achar kach asaba ma'amad. If it's the case where the first Levi was born and only then Shimon did ma'amad, ha'amad benolad basof yibem la palig Rabbi Shimon. Even if he did yibum and then. If he was born first, and then even if he did yibum, maybe Shimon would prohibit. So for sure, if it's only ma'amad, so that can't be the case. Shimon would agree with Chachamim in such a case. Ela asa asa ba ma'amad ba'achar kach nolad lo af. Rather, it has to be that the ma'amad came first. It's kind of like a yibum, and then he was born. That's the only case where Rabbi Shimon would disagree. Okay, and say that he can take. He can't take the widow of Shimon, and therefore, if the ma'amad worked, then that's just fine because he was born after, and so in that case, he could take either of Shimon's wives, and if the ma'amad didn't work, then it's also okay because he's taking Shimon's wife, and the other can go free because she was never part of the equation to begin with. Okay, halas le ba'alat ma'amad lo niftera sara. Okay, the Braita then teaches another case that if he did chalisa to the one to the Reuven's original wife who did ma'amad, then the co-wife, the original wife of Shimon, does not go free. And the question is why? My ta'ama. Mishum dehave sara vadai ubalat ma'amad safek ve'en safek mosi mide vadai. This line is actually the continuation of this case we just talked about, and it's Rabbi Shimon's explanation of which of the wives he can do chalitza with. And so he says, chalas le ba'alat ma'amad, if he does chalitza to the wife, the one who had ma'amad, then lo niftera sara, ma'itama mishum dehavai sara, Vaday ubalat mamar safek ven safek mosi mide vaday. The explanation is because if Levi, in this case, does, Shimon did mamar with Rachel. If Levi then does chalitza with Rachel, well then she, this Hana is a vaday. For sure, Levi has to do something with Hana, right? Has to do chalitza with her. But Rachel is only safek, because only if the ma'amad worked, then the chalitza would work for her. But maybe ma'amad is nothing, and then he doesn't have to do anything. So doing chalitza to Rachel does not help a Hana. On the other hand, the other way around does. If Levi performs chalitza to Hana, then no matter which way, no matter what the ma'amad status is, we're okay. If the ma'amad worked, then they are co-wives. So once Levi does chalitza to Hana, then her co-wife is free to go. And that's totally fine. And he may do that because he was born after the ma'amad. And if the ma'amad is nothing, then Rachel was never related to Shimon at all. And so this is just a simple case. Levi is born, right? And so Rachel is from a previous marriage with Reuben, has nothing to do with him, and not related to Shimon, not related to Chana. So Levi simply performs chalitza to Chana, and then everybody lives happily ever after. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen v'amen.